हरिः ओम् तत्सत् श्रीगुरुभ्यो नमः। हरिः ओम् सहनावतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सहवीर्यङ्करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै। ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः। ॐ नमो भगवते श्रीदक्षिणामूर्तिस्वरूपाय श्रीदयानन्दरूपाय परमात्मने परब्रह्मणे। यस्माज्जातं जगत्सर्वम् यस्मिन्नेव प्रलीयते येनेदं धार्यते चैव तस्मै ज्ञानात्मने नमः। यैरिमे गुरुभिः पूर्वं पदवाक्यप्रमाणतः व्याख्याता सर्ववेदान्तास्ता नित्यं प्रणतोऽस्म्यहम्। ॐ शन्नो मित्रशं वरुणः शन्नो भवत्वर्यमा शन्न इन्द्रो बृहस्पतिः शन्नो विष्णुरुरुक्रमः। नमो ब्रह्मणे नमस्ते वायो त्वमेव प्रत्यक्षं ब्रह्मासि त्वामेव प्रत्यक्षं ब्रह्म वदिष्यामि ऋतं वदिष्यामि सत्यं वदिष्यामि तन्मामवतु तद्वक्तारमवतु अवतु माम् अवतु वक्तारम्। ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः। इन् तैत्तिरीय उपनिषत् We have seen, we have started this first section known as Shikshavalli. We are still in the very, very simplest, easiest portion of the Upanishad. And I said the first Anuvaka, the first section, the first chapter, Shikshavalli, begins with the Anuvaka having Ashanti Mantraha. We have seen the Bhasham, the simple Bhasham of Adi Shankara Bhagavatpada and the Shanti Mantraha, and we went into the next Anuvaka. In the next Anuvaka, the second Anuvaka, very briefly mentions the six topics or six aspects of the science of pronunciation. In this Upanishad, which is meant for discussing the absolute reality, the subject matter must be only absolute reality. But still, in the very first chapter, one small Anuvaka briefly mentions the six aspects pertaining to the science of phonetics, siksha. Here, why we have this, a brief mention of the six topics, it is said, there are mantras which must be chanted. I explained this last class also. First of all, those days there wasn't a printed material. Printing press was not there, so printing was not possible. The whole textbook must be memorized first, so that later on, when the teacher explains the mantras, the student must be able to turn the pages of the textbook in the mind itself. Just as we all turn the pages, keeping the book in front of us. Those days, the pages must be turned in the head itself. Therefore, the text must be memorized. And for the purpose of memorizing also, the swaras are followed. And to make the mantra chanting effective, it's very important to know these sixfold aspects pertaining to the science of phonetics. Knowing the meanings is very important to enjoy the benefit of the knowledge of mantras discussed in the portion dealing with Brahma Vidya. Without knowing the meanings, mere chanting of mantras will be of no use. Maybe of some use, will not really bless a person with the enjoyment of the benefit of knowledge. One has to know the meanings which are correctly unfolded by a teacher. Only then one can enjoy the benefit of the knowledge of the meanings of the mantras, chanting the mantras. Whereas some mantras, knowing the meanings is always good. Still, some mantras, if you are not chanted correctly, properly, one will not enjoy the benefit of chanting those mantras. In order to chant the mantras correctly, to enjoy the benefit of the chanting, Upanishad emphasizes that these six aspects pertaining to the science of phonetics must be given importance, may pay attention to. Therefore, Upanishad in this second section discusses these six aspects. Let us see those. Om Siksham. And we know this very chapter itself is called Sikshavalli because this subject matter pertaining to the six aspects, six factors, six topics pertaining to the science of phonetics is briefly discussed in the very second Anuvaka. Therefore, the whole chapter is known as Sikshavalli. Siksham vyakhyasyamah varnasvarah matrabalam samasantanah ityuktasi ikshadhyayah siksham siksham vyakhyasyamah varnasvarah matrabalam samasantanah ityuktasi ikshadhyayah. Okay, so here this is the dvitiyaha anuvakaha. Only a very brief mention of six aspects of the science of phonetics. So we saw in the previous class, Shankara Bhagavatpada explained what is this meant for. Artha jnana pradhanatvat upanishadaha grantha pate yatna uparamaha mabhut iti sikshadhyayaha arabhyate. We saw this last class. Please mute yourselves. Okay. This chapter on the topic, the science of phonetics known as Siksha, is begun here with the understanding that there should not be reluctance or disinterest or effortlessness in reciting the mantras. Because knowing the meaning of the Upanishad mantras is more important to enjoy the benefit of the knowledge, to enjoy the benefit of the mantras. Well, I only need to know the meanings of the mantras, because in only knowing the meanings, I enjoy the benefit. In chanting, I do not have any benefit. With this thinking, Grantha Pate Yatna Uparamaha Mabhut, there should not be any effortlessness in chanting the mantras. It is learning to chant mantras correctly is equally important as knowing the meanings of the mantras also. Therefore, here the Upanishad, here the section on the science of phonetics is presented here. Then, and he says, what is siksha? He is explaining here. Siksha is equal to what? Sikshyate anaya. It is siksha. It is taught that through which certain things are taught. What are the things which are taught through this? Varnadi uccharana lakshanam. Varna adi uccharana lakshanam. So varnadi uccharana lakshanam means in the form of the pronunciation, correct pronunciation of sounds, etc. So not just only one thing, there are six aspects beginning with the pronunciation. So varnadi uccharana lakshanam anaya sikshate iti siksha, that by which or through which correct pronunciation of sounds, etc. is taught, is said to be siksha. It is one meaning. Another meaning is that through which the six aspects pertaining to the science of phonetics is taught, is said to be siksha. So Shankaracharya says, sikshyante itiva siksha varnadayaha. Sikshyante itiva, or siksha is that through which the six aspects, topics pertaining to the science of phonetics are taught. Sikshyante are taught. What are taught? The six topics pertaining to science of phonetics are taught. Therefore, this the very topic is said to be siksha. Then, but sikshaam vyaakhyasyamaha. When explaining the word siksha, Shankara Bhagavatpada very clearly says, siksha is that through which six topics pertaining to the science of phonetics are taught. So, siksha. But mantra has the sound siksha, has the word siksha. So, for which Shankaracharya himself explains, siksha eva siksha. The word you find in the Upanishad mantra is siksha. Whereas, conventionally, to know the meaning, you must take it siksha as siksha. Why? Because siksha alone is mentioned as siksha in the mantra. We should not question why. Siksha should be presented as siksha. Why it is presented as siksha, we should not question, because it is a Vedic usage. When you say it's Vedic usage, means we take it as it is. So our acharyas are there. They help us how we have to take it correctly. So Shankaracharya says, Dairgham, Dirgha, long. adjective. Dairgyam, noun, length. The length in terms of the short vowel being presented as long vowel. E. In the place of E, there's E. This length, the usage of long vowel is Vedic. Chandasa prayogaha. So, chanda dairgyam, chandasam, length or lengthening of the vowel sound. Here is Vedic usage. Dairgyam chandasam. In conventional language, if you write as siksha, you will not get marks. In conventional, when you write in the conventional language, you must use the word siksha, not siksha. Okay. Therefore, sikshyate anaya varnadi uchcharana lakshanam iti siksha. Sikshyante va, sikshyante iti va varnadayaha. Siksha. The two meanings are given by Shankara Bhagavatpada himself. Okay. So, correct pronunciation of sounds, etc. are taught through this. Therefore, this discipline is called Siksha. This discipline is also known as Siksha because through which all six topics pertaining to the science of phonetics are taught. Okay. Tam, next explanation we are seeing. Tam Siksham. Siksham Vyakhyasyamah. Vyakhyasyamah. Shankara Bhagavatpada writes here, Tam Siksham Vyakhyasyamah. Vyakhyasyamah. Vyakhyasyamah means what? We shall explain, we shall expound. So, vispashtam, let me make it very clear. This verb, vyakhyasyamaha, consists of two prefixes. This verb is formed of the root with the two prefixes, vi and a. Vi and a. That vi stands for spashtata, vispashtam. Spashtata means clarity. So vispashtam, clearly. Vispashtam is an adjective. Then asamantat, entirely, totally, completely. So clearly, entirely, totally. Kathayishyamaha, we shall teach. We shall teach clearly, entirely, totally, not leaving anything. Vispashtam is the, was conveyed by the prefix V. Then, A is the prefix which conveys the meaning. A samantat, totally, entirely. Two adverbs. How shall we explain? Khyasyamaha. Khyasyamaha is the future tense of we shall expound. But how we shall expound? See, the adverbs are included in the verb itself. How the job will be done? Adverbs describing the verb are revealed by the prefixes themselves. Khyasyamaha, we shall explain, we shall expound. How shall we expound? Asamantat, akhyasyamaha. We shall expound, explain entirely, totally, completely, without leaving anything behind. And how shall we expound again? पुनः कथम व्याख्यास्या कथम आख्यास्यामः आसमंतात् ख्यास्यामः पुनः कथम विस्पष्टम इज इक्वल टू स्पष्टतया वेरी क्लियरली टोटली एंटायरली कंप्लीटली वी शल एक्सप्लेन. सो द एडवर्ब्स आर हियर एक्सप्रेस रिवील्ड बाय द प्रीफिक्सेस एडेड टू द वर्ब विशेषेण और विस्पष्टतया आसमंतात् विस्पष्टम आसमंतात् ख्यास्यामः इति व्याख्यास्यामः. ओके नाउ शंकर भगवत्पाद अगेन एक्सप्लेन्स वेर हैज दिस वर्ब बीन डिराइव्ड. ही सेज चक्षिङः चक्षिङ इज द ओरिजिनल रूट. Don't worry too much about grammar here. This Upanishad class, it is not Sanskritam class or grammar class. So don't get affected by this. Just take it easy. Shankaracharya mentions the original root of the verb khyasyamaha. Let me make it clear. What is the present tense verb of vyakhyasyamaha? Vyakhyati. Khyati explains. Khya is the only dhatu. And ti is affix. Add khyati. Khyatihi as a noun means fame. But as a verb, second conjugation verb khyati explains. Vi, a, khyati. Vyakhyati. Vyakhyati. Clearly, entirely explains. Sikshakaha vyakhyati. The teacher explains clearly, totally, entirely. Vyakhyati. What's the noun form of it? Vyakhyanam. Why I'm telling the word vyakhyanam is a very familiar word for all of you. Vyakhyanam. Vyakhyanam. So explanation. Explanation itself, not ordinary explanation, is a clear, doubt-free explanation. Is a clear, doubt-free, total, entire, complete explanation. It cannot be improved better. When you want to say vyakhyanam, vyakhyanam, vyakhyanam. So vyakhyanam is the noun. Vyakhyati is the present tense verb. And the future tense verb is vyakhyasyati. So the teacher tells, therefore, in first person verb, he says, vyakhyasyamaha, we shall explain. Okay. So Shankaracharya says, this verb vyakhyasyamaha has been derived from the original root, what? Chakshing. The chakshing alone becomes khya. Chakshing goes away, khya comes. How? Why? In Sanskrit Bhasha, some roots sometimes become completely changed into another form based on certain rules. We do not need to know all those rules and all here. Let us understand the original root is chakshing, and that root alone becomes khya. Therefore, chakshingaha va khya nyadishthasya. Kyan adishtasya means the chakshing becomes kyan. Okay. Chakshingaha kyan adishtasya means the chakshing root which has become kyan. For that root, vyang purvasya vi ang. So vi is one prefix, prefix number one. Ang stands for a. Vi and a, purvasya, with the two prefixes. For the root chakshing, which becomes kya, with two prefixes, v and a, vyakta va karmanaha, vyakta va karmanaha, Yetad rupam. So this verb vyakhyasyamaha, derived from the root, originally from the root chakshing, just become kya with the two prefixes v and a, becomes what now? Vyaktavak karmanaha. So, vyakta vakkarmanaha means what? Explanation. Vyakta vak means, vak means word, expression. Vyakta vak means clear expression, clear utterance, clear word. And also, Vyaktavak means what? Clear. Vyakta means revealed. Okay. Clear expression, clear utterance, clear word. So clear, doubt-free presentation is Vyaktavak. Vyaktavak karmanaha. Etad rupam. This is the form of the vyakhyasyamaha, is the final form of the verb which is of the meaning of clear expression, clear utterance of the root chakshing, which has become kya with the two prefixes V and A. So clear expression is the meaning of this form, this verbal form. Vyakhyasyamaha. Okay. Anyway, it is already explained very, very well. Vispashtam asamantat. Two words are adverbs, indeclinable words. Vispashtam, or it is pashtataya, asamantat, khyasyam, khyasyamaha, vyakhyanam kurmaha, vispashtam, asamantat, vyakhyanam kurmaha, we shall explain clearly without giving any room for any doubt, and also entirely, completely. This is the meaning. Okay. Siksham vyakhyas. We shall explain science of phonetics. Very briefly. Okay. Now, what are these six factors pertaining to the science of phonetics? We'll see one by one now. Tatra varnaha. First, let us take word varnaha. Remember the mantra. Shiksham vyakhya syamaha varnaswaraha matrabalam samasantanaha ityuktasi ikshadhyayaha. Now I am repeating this mantra so many times. We will not be repeating it again next class. That's why. Today is the only class. Next class will be going ahead. Okay. Tatra varnaha. Okay. Let us take what is varnaha. What is the word varnaha? Discuss about. Akaradihi. Varnaha is equal to akaradihi. Akaraha is equal to the vowel a. Adihi means beginning from or beginning with the first and the foremost of the vowels, a, all other vowels and all other consonants. Swaraha vyanjanani. Swaraha means vowels. Vyanjanani or halaha means consonants. Swaraha halaha. Swaraha vyanjanani. So, you can say achaha, halaha or swaraha, vyanjanani means vowels and consonants. All vowels and consonants. All sounds. All letters. okay, are meant by this one word varnaha. Okay. Next is swaraha. Swaraha. Swaraha, yet he explains udattadihi. So having the clear understanding of all the sounds, first of all, how many, all vowels, short vowels, long vowels, okay, and the vowels, and then consonants, all letters, swaraha. Then swaraha is equal to udattadihi. So swaraha, we have this, the three swaras. We have three, one, four, totally four swaras. Udatta adihi. Udatta adihi means the four swaras such as udatta, etc. are beginning with udatta adihi. So udatta, anudatta, swaritaha, dirghaswaritaha. These are the four swaras mainly understood here for chanting the Veda mantra in Krishna Yajurveda style also. So udattadihi. Okay. What is udattaha? What is anudattaha? What is swaritaha? What is dirghaswaritaha? Let me make it very clear. So, udattadihi, he tells and leaves, which means he already assumes the students who are studying the Upanishad must have been exposed to Vedic chanting. They must have done some Veda Adhyayanam also. So, he tells and leaves, udattadihi. Okay. So, when we are chanting the mantra, it's a very basic kindergarten lesson on the Siksha. Not elaborate explanation here. So, udattaha, when we take the Veda mantras, the swaras are indicated by certain lines above, certain strokes above the letter, below the letter. Sometimes we find a line above the letter, one single line. Sometimes we find two lines above the letters. Sometimes we find a vertical line. Now below the letter also we find a line. Sometimes we don't find any letter, any lines. You would have noticed in the mantras. Even now you can just go back to your mantras and check. Which we already learned, Shanno Mitraha, Sahanavavatu, all those mantras, we already had these swaras. Sahanavavatu, the easiest mantra, which you all know very well, I can make it very clear. Om Sahana Vavatu. In that, Om Sahana Vavatu. There, Om. So, here, there, the sound is not neither raised, nor it is made low. It is in neutral. It is made sound neutral, neutrally. Then we hear saha, saha. There, saha na vavatu. And first sakara, after omkara, I say saha na vavatu. And saha, the first sakara, below this sakara, you find the line. That line below the letter indicates the swara known as anudattaha, anudattaha. Then the sound becomes low, intonation becomes low. Saha na vavatu, na vavatu. The na, you say now avatu, becomes na vavatu. Then you find a line above the letter na. That line above the sound, letter na, is known as స్వరితః, అనుదాత్తః స్వరితః. వెర్ యాజ్ హ ఇట్ డజన్ హ్యావ్ ఎనీథింగ్ అబౌవ్ ఆర్ బిలో, దేర్ ఇస్ నో సౌండ్ ఇస్ డినోటెడ్, నో స్వర ఇస్ డినోటెడ్, ఇంటర్నేషన్ ఇస్ డినోటెడ్ బై ఎనీ లైన్ అబౌవ్ ఆర్ బిలో. సహ నా, సహ నా. హ డస్ నాట్ హ్యావ్ ఎనీథింగ్ అబౌవ్ ఆర్ బిలో. ఈవెన్ దెన్ ద హ విచ్ ఆల్సో హ్యాస్ స్వర, దాట్ స్వర డినోటెడ్ బై వితౌట్ ఎనీ లైన్ అబౌవ్ ఆర్ బిలో ఈజ్ సెట్ టు బి ఉదాత్తః, ఉదాత్త స్వర. సో ఉదాత్త స్వర విచ్ ఇస్ నాట్ డినోటెడ్ బై ఎనీ లైన్ ఆర్ అబౌ ఆర్ బిలో. అనుదాత్త స్వర ఇస్ డినోటెడ్ బై లైన్ బిలో ది లెటర్. స్వరిత స్వర ఇస్ డినోటెడ్ బై ద లైన్ అబౌ ది లెటర్. సమ్టైమ్స్ వి ఫైండ్ టూ లైన్స్ అబౌ ది లెటర్ టుగెదర్ ఇస్ నోన్ యాజ్ దీర్ఘస్వరిత. దీర్ఘస్వరిత స్వర, ది స్వర డినోటెడ్ బై టూ లైన్స్ అబౌ దిస్ లెటర్ ఇస్ కాల్డ్ దీర్ఘస్వరిత. ఓం సహ నవతు, దర్ వవతు, వవతు. దట్ ఆల్ దోస్ త్రీ లెటర్స్ వవతు హ్యావ్ ది స్వర నోన్ యాజ్ ఉదాత్త స్వర. Because no line above or below. Saha na vavatu, saha nau bhunaktu, bhunaktu. The entire word bhunaktu, all sounds, all letters which form the word bhunaktu have udatta swaraha. Saha nau bhunaktu, saha వీర్యం కరవావహై తేజస్వినావధీతమస్తు మా విద్విషావహై. దర్ విషావహై, దర్ యు హావ్ టూ లైన్స్ అబౌవ్ ద హై, దట్స్ నోన్ యాజ్ దీర్ఘస్వరితః. మా ఉదాత్తః విత్ స్వరితః, మా విత్ వేషా ష అనుదాత్తః, మా విత్ వేషా వహై హై హై దీర్ఘస్వరితః. దీస్ ఆర్ ది ఫోర్ స్వరాస్. దెర్ఫోర్ the word swaraha means all four swaras beginning with udattaha etc. udattadihi swaraha, the word swara means the four swaras. Then matra, matra is equal to hrasvadyaha. Matra is akaranta stilinga shabdaha. It's a feminine gender word. The word matra means itself means measure. Miyate anaya iti matra, that by through which something is measured, time is measured, is matra. So hasvadyaha, we have the matra, the time measure, take the time taken for pronouncing a sound, matra. So what is matra? Hrasvadyaha, hrasvaha means short, dirghaha means long, plutaha means long, very long. Very long means how long? Let me explain to you. All short vowels are said to be hrasvaha. Hraswaswaraha, all short vowels in any language are said to be Hraswaswaraha. Hraswaha means this matra. Hraswaha is a matra, one unit of time. To pronounce any short vowel, time taken is one unit of time. Then dirgha, a long vowel. In pronouncing a long vowel, time taken is two units of time. Dvi matra kalaha. One matra kalaha. One unit of time should be taken to pronounce one single short vowel. Two units of time are taken to pronounce a long vowel. Then, what is Hraswaha? If a sound takes one unit of time, Eka Matra Kalaha, it is a short vowel. Shorts. Then, Dirgaha means a sound taking two units of time. A, E, U, R. All these are Dimatraka. Dimatra, all these sounds take Dimatra Kala. Now, consonant also should take only one matra kala. Now, plutaha. The plutaha, if it, any sound takes, especially vowel sounds, takes more than two matra kala, it can take any length of time, then it is known as plutaha. Plutaha is mostly used when someone is far away from you. You call that person and then you can't, simply using long vowel is not enough. Dimatra kalaha, the two units of time is not enough. So you take it longer time to make that person hear your calling. Govinda, we call, hey Govinda. Very simple. Govinda, come here. Nowadays, we don't need to scream. When you're inside the room, you call somebody who can hear you. Govinda, come here. Finished. But you're grazing a cow or you're doing something else. You're walking in the garden. Nowadays, we have beautiful. We have parks are very beautiful in spring season. We go for a walk and the child is running away far from you. Then you call him, hey John, hey Govinda. Then that, what is it? Because to make him hear you, shout, you scream, you call him aloud. That, so any length of time taken, more than two matra kala, when necessary, to pronounce a given sound, is said to be plutaha. Like this, we have hraswa, hraswaha, dirgaha, plutaha. These three words mean the time taken by certain vowels and consonants. So one unit of time, some letters take only one unit of time, some sounds take two units of time, long vowels. And a consonant also takes only one unit of time. And plutaha is used when necessary, which means the vowel takes much longer time, the more unit, more than two units of time. Is said to be what? Matra. So when the length of these sounds, vowel sounds, specifically vowel sounds, becomes divided into three. Those are meant by these three words, hraswaha, dirgaha, plutaha. So short length of time taken in pronouncing a short vowel is hraswaha matra. So long vowel takes much longer time. 2 units of time, it's called dirghaha. So more than 2 units of time, if a vowel takes more than 2 units of time, then any length of time taken to pronounce a given vowel more than 2 years of time is said to be plutaha. Hrasvaha dirghaha plutaha or tisraha matraha. So we can say chatvaraha swaraha tisraha matraha. Udattaha, anudattaha, swaritaha, dirghaswaritaha, chatvaraha swaraha. Whereas, tisraha matraha as hrasvaha, dirghaha, plutaha. 3 matras, 3 units, 3 measures. Okay. Now, balam. What is balam? Balam literally means, you all know very well, strength. Balam means strength, stamina, prowess. But here balam, in the science of phonetics, the word balam indicates the effort taken in pronouncing the correct sounds, correct pronunciations. We have prayatna also, we're going to see later on, which is effort. But here balam also means the giving correct emphasis to the sounds to make them pronounced correctly. So giving correct emphasis to make the sounds pronounced correctly is said to be balam. And here again we have where the soft consonants and hard consonants. The first, all the 5 groups we have, 5 groups of letters, ka, kavargaha, chavargaha, tavargaha. So gutturals, ka, there you would ka, then you say ka, then ga, gha. Nga. When nga comes, it is guttural, but it's also nose also is involved in pronouncing the sound. It's a guttural nasal. Nga. So this is what is meant by this word balam. Correct emphasis given to make the correct pronunciation of sounds is said to be balam here. Cha, cha, ja, ja. Nya. Ta, ha. See, pataha, cloth, pataha, lesson. You can't say pataha, pataha. So, danam, giving, dhanam, wealth. You can't say dhanam, dhanam. Whereas you can't say dhanam also. Dhanam, whereas dhanam. So, like this, taking care of the correct pronunciation, making correct emphasis on sounds is meant by the word balam. These are very important. We need to know all these. What are the sounds? How they must be pronounced? And what are the swaras? How should be the emphasis? We must be very clear so that we can chant the mantras correctly. By chanting the mantras correctly, we can enjoy the benefit of the chanting recitation. Otherwise, we will lose the benefit of chanting. Okay, next. Sama. Next is Sama. The word Sama, Shankaracharya says. What is Sama? So, Matra Hraswadhyaha Balam Prayatna Visheshaha. So, Balam literally means strength, which means Prayatna Visheshaha. So, understanding is Prayatna Visheshaha. The effort involved in pronouncing various sounds in keeping with the place of their origination. So, sthanam. One must know which are the sounds which originate from which place and which are the sounds which involve which sort of effort. Prayatnaha is involved in correctly pronouncing the sounds, and it is important also to know the place of origination of the sounds also. Sthanam. Sthanam, prayatnaha. These two things we must know to have to chant the mantras correctly. Now, which are all the sounds which are gutturals, which are palatals? Ichu yashanam taluhu, palatals, rishuratanam murdhana, cerebrals, rutulasanam, we say lipials, the ocean, the dentals, dantyaha, then papabhama, all lipials. We should know the correct, the place of origination of sounds and the emphasis involved in pronouncing those sounds. So the word balam, correct knowledge of the origination of sounds and the emphasis involved in pronouncing those sounds will help us have the knowledge of correct pronunciation, which is meant by this word balam. So prayatna visheshaha. Next is sama. Varnanam madhyama vritya uccharanam samata. What is sama? Sama means what? Any sama mantra, any samaveda mantra is also said to be saman, samani. Their nakaranta shabda, saman is equal to nakaranta shabda, which means any mantra of samaveda. Samani mantras of Samaveda. But here Sama. Here Sama is equal to Samata. Samata means what? Very beautifully it is given. Mantranam madhyama vritya uccharanam. Madhyama vritya uccharanam. What does it mean? Madhyama vritya uccharanam means what? The chant, in chanting the mantras, the pace must be maintained uniformly. It's very important to take care of the uniformity in chanting. And this uniformity, chanting the mantras in uniform space, can be maintained by constantly practicing or repeating, by repeated practice of the chanting of mantras, which means mantras should not be chanted. When Pujya Swamiji came to Kuwait, once in Kuwait, we don't have any strong organization, but we have something called Samskrita, like Samskrita Bharati, we have Arshvidya Bharati. Kuwait is not a registered organization, but still we have very good networking. And I used to go regularly, even now I go. And all those people, mostly, they all have this regular the discipline of chanting Sri Rudra Prashna. One Puja Swamiji also was there, and they used to do Rudra Ekadashi, and they chant very, very fast because they have to finish in time. The children get restless because the whole family has to come. The entire family comes for chanting. We have Shiva Puja and mainly Rudra Ekadashi Parayanam they do. And they chant mantras very fast. All are Vaidikas and they are very, very good people. Very, they are used to. They have been well trained also. But still, because of the time constraint, they used to chant very, very fast. And Puja Swamiji told them in person when he came. One day he saw them chanting. We came towards the end of the Ekadashi, 11th time of Parayanam. He came and he joined. So then Swamiji said, there's no use of chanting like this. If you want to make your chanting effective, Swamiji appreciated this Shraddha in chanting Rudram. He appreciated that. But he also told them, if you want to make it really effective, please do chant correctly. Don't make it too fast. Don't chant it too slowly also. Om Namaste Rudra Manyava Uto Taishave Namaha. No, it should not be too slow. Maybe the teacher, when he has to teach the mantras initially, he may teach slowly in order to make the student learn. First time the teacher chants, he may teach slowly. He can teach slowly. But once the student gets the words, he picks up the correct chanting, then the teacher also sees that he chants it in correct right pace. It should not be too slow, but too fast also. Om Namaste Rudra Manya Uto Taishave Namaha. Not too fast also. Why? Because we will lose the swaras, we lose the correct sounds, the very purpose of chanting will not get served if we chant, we do not follow the correct pace. So, madhyama vritya uccharanam sama, which is samatha, all the words. See, we should remember this. We don't need to measure every time. Vowel, short vowel takes one matra kala. Long vowel takes two matra kala. Consonant takes one matra kala. Like this, if we remember. And as there is a madhyama vritya uccharanam. Without being too fast, without being too slow, chanting in a correct pace is sama. This is sama, very important to take care of it. Even not only Veda mantras, even the stotras. Even in chanting a stotram, we must maintain this rule, phonetic, the rule pertaining to the science of phonetics in terms of sama, or santana. Okay. Sama santana. These are the six things. Whether we chant the mantras while doing the puja, during the paramansava puja, or we hear, of course, being women or being non-Vaidikas, we hear others chanting. And we chant quietly with them. And while doing performance, during the performance of a ritual or a puja, when you're chanting, whenever you're chanting, the chanting must be in a neutral, in a medium speed. It should not be too fast, too slow also. That's what is meant by the word sama, sama santanah. So all these six factors we should take care of when we are doing the parayanam, recitation or chanting of mantras. Yeshah hi sikshitavyah arthah. Yeshah hi. Yeshahi, because Sandhi rule, we are, the Visarga becomes dropped. Yeshahi Sikshitavyorthaha. Here, Arthaha means what? This. Yeshaha Arthaha. This set of six factors. The set of six factors. Yeshaha Arthaha. This set of six factors pertaining to the science of phonetics should be taught. Should be taught because should be remembered while learning the mantras, while chanting the mantras, so that mantra chanting will become effective, meaningful. One can enjoy the benefit of mantra chanting. Siksha yasmin adhyaye. No, Shankaracharya says, why this very first chapter of Taittiriya Upanishad is said to be Siksha Dhyayaha? Siksha, Sikshavalli. Why? He's explaining here. Siksha yasmin adhyaye saha ayam Siksha Dhyayaha iti evam uktaha uditaha. See, this topic of science of phonetics, the topic of science of phonetics known as Siksha is discussed in very briefly in this chapter. Therefore, the entire chapter itself is known after the word Siksha as Siksha, Siksha, Sikshavalli. Yasmin adhyaye saha ayam siksha adhyayaha iti evam uktaha. Uktaha is equal to uditaha. Uditaha, uktaha mean the same. Past passive participles. Uktaha has been said. Uditaha has been said. This first chapter is said to be Sikshavalli because it is in this chapter, the chapter in which the topic of science of phonetics in terms of are known as Siksha is discussed very briefly in one Anuvaka. Therefore, this chapter itself is known as Sikshavalli. Uktaha iti upasamharartha. No, Shankaracharya added the word uktaha. Ityuktasi ikshadhyayaha. Ityuktasi ikshadhyayaha. That word uktaha, the past passive participle, meaning has been said, is given there. Why? Upasamharartha. Means this topic of science of phonetics is briefly mentioned and concluded there itself. The conclusion of the topic of science of phonetics mentioned briefly is indicated by this word uktaha. Why does the mantra use the word uktaha? Shankaracharya explains even that the word uktaha, which means has been said. And that word actually is meant there, said there, mentioned there, in order to indicate the conclusion of that brief mention of the Siksha, the science of phonetics. Okay. With this, the second section is over. Very easy section. In fact, when I taught the Moola Grantha, I did explain elaborately. And whenever I taught Medha Suktam long, long ago, many years ago, or Durga Suktam, when I taught other suktams, even Ganapati Atharvashirsha Upanishad, many, many, many years ago, even then, I did discuss these very briefly, these six aspects. What are Varnaha and what is Prayatraha, what is Thanam, and what is Sama, Santana, all this. I might not have mentioned a few technical terms as Sama, Santana, but I did explain, I did teach before I started teaching these basic mantras. Atashi shi ikshi ksham vyakhya syamaha varnaswaraha matrabalam samasantanaha ityuktasi ikshadhyayaha. Okay. Today I'm going to stop my class and the fresh new topic, new lesson we will start tomorrow. I'm making today's a short class. I didn't want to break the class. A very simple lesson. I want to finish it today. And next class onwards, we will expect a very serious and interesting Bhasham study. And please try to memorize the mantras as I teach. Taittiriya Upanishad mantras you can easily memorize. Many of you might have memorized already, but still. Om Purnamadah Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnameva Vasishyate Om Shanti Shanti Shantihi Harihi Om Tat Sat Shri Gurubhyo Namaha Harihi Om.